Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. We are live from McDonald's on Northside Drive in Atlanta. Stop on by, have breakfast with us. Having a lot of people come up. It is so nice to meet everyone. Garrett is in for it. Dylan today, back at the station. Gordon's keeping us on air out here at McDonald's. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Mike, do you want to speak to Garrett right now?
Well, you know, this is one of those things where Garrett is back at the studio, so I can't drop a read the room on Garrett because he's not here. But if this were a read the room situation, I don't think this song really fits right now. But it's all good. It definitely wouldn't have fit next week because
that's what I was going to say. We can't play this next week, so might as well play it now.
That's so
next
true.
Week, this is off the playlist.
There you go, man.
It's you know, Garrett is a little bit of an antagonist, you know.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
He's trying to start.
He plays this really nice, look at me, he says my pleasure after everything, but in reality, nah.
I love it, man. I love it. Nice word, G.
Well, this Sunday, the Falcons are heading to Charlotte to take on the Panthers. We are 1-1 right now. Would love to make that 2-1. Kind of looking at the previews for this game, you guys have been sizing up the offense, the defense. Can the explosive offense kind of find its legs in the game? I know we've been having some issues.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, Bo, and I was going to throw this out at you today. Where is our belief level right now in the first 2 weeks, what we've seen out of Kyle Pitts? That's what I can't decide. When I looked at Kyle Pitts after week one, I was like, Kyle Pitts against Tampa has been really good. Even going back to last year, like Kyle Pitts got half of his receiving stats against Tampa in two games last year. And then he comes out, and not that his stats were over the top crazy last week, but you could tell in the way he was playing that he's still playing with an edge. He's showing, you know, the burst off the line of scrimmage. He's showing willingness in the blocking game. I think if we can get three of those in a row, then I'm really, really on board the Kyle Pitts train in terms of, you know, the rest of the season.
Now, this is the most important year of his career. Look, Kyle Pitts Kyle Pitts will play in this league for another 7 years to 10 years if he wants to. Mm-hmm. If he stays healthy and then he actually wants to play in the league, he'll be here. That said, how much he's compensated for that and how you know, and those things are going to be very dependent on this year. He goes out and he's got almost 3,000 yards in his career, 2,700.
Yep.
Well, like 1,100 of those was in his rookie year. So there's been a decline. Obviously, injury played a part in that. But I have to tell you that my confidence level in him is as high as it's been since his rookie year.
I agree.
Because of the way there's little things that you haven't seen from him that you are seeing this year. The aggressiveness downfield and blocking, not only he's never going to be a great blocker. That's just not who – it's just not it, okay? It's not who he is. It's not necessarily a skill set.
Like my old coach would say, not enough lead in his pants right there. You
know yeah. What I mean? But, however, when I see Drake catch a ball when it's second and 20 and you need to put the game away and Drake catches a little five-yard in or like a little slant and takes it 20 yards, and one of the reasons is because Kyle Pitts is blocking his butt off downfield.
Yeah.
That makes me feel great. People think people think I'm unfair on Kyle Pitts on the station, which is really ridiculous because I defended him to it was undefendable. But I'm also going to give him all the love when he deserves it. And right now, he deserves every bit of love that we can give him. My tight end has 4 or 5 catches in a game. That's good for me.
Yeah,
catches just tight ends.
What
does
he got? 11 on the year right now.
Yeah, they just don't. Yeah, and tight ends don't have 115 reception seasons. It's not really. You know, and if they do, they're not going to have – they don't go for, I guess, 12 for 160 normally in games.
Right, yeah.
The stat line – somebody asked me a stat line, and I was like, I don't know. Like, a tight end, like, 6 for, like, 76.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's a phenomenal day.
That's like – you know,
Travis Kelce.
That's a top-tier tight end. That's what I would expect. You know, that they're Drake London was used as a tight end last year. That's why
exactly.
He had so many catches.
Power slot.
So
yeah, I completely agree with that assessment. And you know, G just texted us. I think it's great. And this stat that Garrett just sent is exactly why I answered Allie's question with a question that Kyle Pitts has 5 of the Falcons' 20th longest plays of the season. He is really, in a lot of ways, the secret to unlocking the explosiveness of this team. Specifically, when you look at the fact that Drake has been dinged up, Darnell was out in week one. Kyle Pitts has attacked the football in the passing game. He's used the length of his arms. In a ways that I expect him to do it the first couple of years. And if he can do that and take that to the red zone, take that to some of the, you know, the routes on the goal line where he just uses his body to kind of wall off defenders, then I think that can be another reason we can kind of step ahead in the red zone percentage.
Let's talk about that red zone topic because it's been the buzzword all week. That's what everybody wants to see an improvement on. And Drake London actually talked to the media about that.
Yeah, it's only going to get better from here. I think it's decent right now with what teams are giving us. Mm-hmm. But I know we need to score, and that's our goal every time we get into the red zone is score. So definitely working on it and trying our best to make it better.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where I think we expect Drake London to always be the guy that attacks the football. We put him up to bat against Tampa. That was the play I believe he was injured on.
Yes, yeah.
And everybody else knows that as well. Right, that's one of the things about Drake London is once we start getting in these situations, and I think one of the beauties of him playing that power slot position a year ago was, you know, we could utilize him in multiple ways and kind of move him around. I also want to bring up the fact that we've run a little more 12 personnel and this year, and so that's kind of taken Ray Ray out of some of the roles that Ray Ray had a year ago and some of those slot position roles. So I don't know. I think the world of Drake London, when we had a chance to talk to him face-to-face, told him straight to his face that I think he's the best 50-50 ball guy in the league. You know, and you would think that looking at the red zone that would mean that he would be able to have some of those jump passes and, you know, back underneath the goalposts and things like that. Just hasn't materialized. And I think that the fact that he's aware of it, and you hear that in his voice, and that Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris, you know, as well, I think bodes well for this team kind of moving into this weekend.
There's a couple of things. The jump pass is such a low percentage. Like when you're throwing a jump, let me rephrase it. When you're throwing a jump ball, that's a low percentage play. I don't think that, you know, that's not this, to me, that's not the, you know, a very high. So when you do that, normally those are kind of hot route type things where, I mean, it's like the quarterback's just predetermined out of the huddle. I'm drop back and I'm putting you up to bat. And so when a lot of times this happens, you're taking a lot of things away. So I think part of the reason, though, they haven't been able to do as much or do some of that stuff is because of how they've gotten behind in that area.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would like it to be an opportunity where if he has to, he can put him up to bat. But I think you have nailed it as far as what you've said for a while now. And you were kind of saying it last year, and I didn't really feel like it was you kind of wanted it more with the wild card last year. I think Penix needs to be on the move a little bit in that area. Now, I'm not saying I want to roll him out and take away half the field, but I do want a play that is kind of designed for him down there to just – break things up a little bit and give them something else to look at. And I think you've done a good job of pointing that out.
It's the Desmond Ridder special, right? And then when you run an offense that has wide zone the way that Arthur Smith brought to Atlanta, and really, if you want to trace the roots all the way back, here's your blast from the past. Arthur Smith kind of, I think his roots in this come from Mike Mularkey when their time together at Tennessee. And I think that's one of the things that I've always looked at. So when I think about our offense under Mike Mularkey, that's why I always go with some of these things. Now, we didn't have the ability to do that with Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan wasn't going to outrun anybody to the pylon, right? But Michael Penix can, and I think that's one of the reasons. Don't want to run him much. Don't want to put him in harm's way. But I would say 25 of the offenses in the NFL right now will feature some type of zone read in situations like that. The other problem is for me when I look at the offensive play calling is we've tried to run the ball up the middle more when we've gotten into the tight red zone, which it hasn't been successful. We've seen the fourth and one get stuffed. We've seen a number of other plays up the middle get stuffed. Here's what happens, though, usually when that happens. Hey, Zach Robinson, call a play action pass off of some of those dives, right, where the quarterback can hand it off and it looks like Algier up the middle and then you kind of roll Penix out. Or he's under center and you can try to do some different things and hit somebody over the top of the line of scrimmage. We don't get the plays up the middle and then it's like, oh, well, we can't score up the middle. Let's run a speed sweep. There's a fracture right there.
I think that some of the things people are calling for, they're doing, though, and they don't realize it. And I'm not trying to point anybody out or call anybody out, but I was listening to Mike and Carl yesterday, and Mike wants Bijan more in the red area to be used as a receiver. And I was sitting there, and I was listening to him on the way home when because I was bringing Pork Chop home, and I literally remember where we saw it in that area where – you know, they were attacking with blitzers, Bijan trying to take those guys on. And so Zach's adjustment was, I'm going to move Charlie in there and into the spot next to where Bijan would be. And I'm going to move Bijan to Charlie's spot. So now Bijan is, and I don't know if he chipped every time, but, you know, just maybe throwing a chip and releasing to the flat area or kind of finding his way in a soft spot of the zone more out in a pattern like in the middle of the field. But you got to catch it. You got to connect on those, and that's part of it. I just don't think that there's one problem. It's not just play calling. It's not just protection. It's not just receivers routes. It's not just Penix's throws. It's literally a complementary of failures.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And so, and I hate that term failure because I don't think, you know, but they're not getting the job done. So that's all you can see. It. They're getting down there. They're just stalling.
Well, the best offensive play callers, and I know we need to kind of put a bow on this, but the best offensive play callers to me are ones that self-scout week to week, all right, and then make adjustments based on that. So, for example, you just talked about the fact that we have put Charlie Warner in the backfield in shotgun to pick up blitzers, you know, that because he's probably better at picking up blitzers than Bijan Robinson right now. All right, so then if we moved into this week, we should have some type of, you know, slip play where Charlie Warner acts like he's picking up a blitzer and then moves out in front and catches a pass. Now, will Charlie Warner catch a pass this week? Odds are no. You know, what did we get two out of him last year? I don't know what it is, but that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Build self-scout and build off what you've already put on tape. And I think that if you do that in the red zone with some of the duo, some of the inside zone, then there's a lot of, you know, a lot of yards to be had right there.
And you got to keep mixing it up because you don't want Bijan taking those types of hits constantly. It's not just that he can't – he's not good. He's very good at picking up those blitz. I think he's the best in the league in the running back position. But, I mean, those are some collisions now.
Yeah.
And well, you don't want him taking all those.
Right. And we're going to keep diving into the Falcons-Panthers matchup throughout the show today. But tomorrow, I want to remind you, from noon until 2, you can join me, Allie Mack, and Gordon. You going to be out at Suns Kia tomorrow? All right. You can join me and Gordon out at Suns Kia in McDonough. We're getting you ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan is going to win the ultimate tailgate kit. It's a 50-inch 4K smart TV with a rolling stand. Other prizes come along with it. And then another winner is going to take home tickets to the Washington-Atlanta game. That is tomorrow, Saturday, from noon until 2 at Suns Kia in McDonough. And coming up, we'll talk about last night's game, hear from Mike McDaniel when we zoom out, take a look at what's going on in the NFL in the huddle. That's next, live from McDonald's on Northside Drive on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's the morning shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and we are live from McDonald's on Northside Drive in Atlanta. Stop on by. We'd love to have breakfast with you.
Yeah, I had bacon, egg, and cheese already, but hell, I'll have another one. Why not?
Gordon is making sure we sound amazing out here. Garrett is in for Dylan today back at the station. We're about to go in the huddle, but I got to point something out about the McDonald's we're at today. It's 1105 Northside Drive, by the way, in Atlanta, Dang. If you want to stop by. When I pulled in at 5, I know you guys noticed this too. You would have thought it was already 7, 8 a.m. It was so busy.
It was like the lunch rush was already going on. It was crazy. And I think you and I pulled in around the same time, right after 5 o'clock. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, man, I'm first of all shocked it's open. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know if this is 24 hours.
Okay. I noticed that.
Okay. And then I was looking around going, the line was wrapped like all the way past the drive through. Like there was a line like already in the drive through. And this is one of those newer locations where everything has got a touch screen and everything is going on in here. But I was shocked too. That was crazy.
And every pickup parking spot was also filled as well. So everyone was waiting on their food.
Yeah.
There were DoorDashers coming in and out. Like it was just insane.
It's very fancy too, because I was sitting here as we were starting the show. Like the first segment, I don't know if I sounded like I was spaced out, but I was totally paying attention to something over here, because there was a lady that walks in the door and she never comes through the second door. Like those two, you know, and I'm like, where'd she go? Oh, she must have been an employee. That's what I was like, she's an employee. Then I see the same lady walk out with a bag. They got in the delivery window right there. So I guess if you had ordered online or something, you can literally walk to that thing, and they just will put it right there. And I'm like, they didn't have that in Paulding County when I was growing up.
2025, man. We're living in different times, 2025.
I'll warn you, though, if you do that delivery window today, you're going to miss us, and we would love to see
you. Yeah, don't do it. I mean,
wave at us through the glass. Come on, man.
She probably saw me staring in there like, what's going on in there?
1105 Northside Drive is where we are today in Atlanta. If you want to stop by, we'll be here till 9 a.m. But what did you order again?
I had a bacon, egg, and cheese.
You didn't get the McGriddle.
I know. And you know what? I had this conversation with myself this morning, and I said,
Self,
you've had a McGriddle a lot lately. Go back to your old faithful, your old favorite, which was the bacon, egg, and cheese. See, there's a guy right now. He's going to the delivery window. See, he's grabbing it right now. I've never seen anything
Very
like
convenient.
This. Yeah.
Keep in mind the conversations you had with yourself about the breakfast sandwiches here at McDonald's. It might come up in Fair or Foul at 7:40 today.
Wow.
Just saying.
It's going to be foul.
All right. That's just how I say it, Mike. All right, let's go in the huddle. Had some football last night. Bills beat the Dolphins at home, 31-21. That makes the Dolphins 0-3. Let's hear from Mike McDaniel on last night's loss.
Frustration that turns to focus. I would say that I'm very focused and motivated to continue eliminating things that cost us games. And, you know, you have a young team, a lot of people that you're counting on, and you need them to not be young for very much longer and continue to grow. But I would say focus, because, you know, I know I have a locker room that is all in to grow through the process. You know, there's some tough lessons or tough things you have to deal with in the National Football League.
The schnozberries taste like schnozberries.
was he asked, Coach? Can you use the word focus multiple times in one paragraph?
No, I think somebody said, Coach, you've been talking too fast. You need to slow down. And he was like, All right, let me just explain this.
He's very methodical.
So no, I do want to give Miami credit though, because if you watched this game last night, they played very hard and they didn't play like a team that doesn't play hard for their coach. As a matter of fact, all the reports that were coming out, some of the pregame stuff that they were doing last night, some of the sideline reports, was that this team is unified. And when they took the field, I absolutely believed it. Mm-hmm. Now, did they beat themselves late in the game? Absolutely. Some of the stuff they were doing and some of the interception that Tua threw that was a little bit telegraphed, you know, I think obviously they're going to get back to the drawing board on that. But, I mean, it's 21-21 in the fourth quarter. Yeah. They get a roughing the punter or whatever it is that gave Buffalo a first down that was – awful, awful decision by whatever nose guard that was in for Miami that decided he was going to go block a punt and go airborne. It wasn't even close. And then that gives Buffalo a first down. But, you know, Miami scores off the rip. They score on the first drive. Buffalo answers that with a touchdown. Then Buffalo goes up by 7. Miami answers. I thought it was a great back-and-forth affair, and Miami did not look like an 0-2 team. But yeah, They've got to get it done on the field sooner than later.
I played last night a little bit of golf with a Miami fan. He was like, hey, they lose tonight, McDaniel's gone. And I was like, not unless they get blown out. And they didn't. I thought they played pretty well. And it's a good point. I guess they just weren't quite focused enough. And if they continue to grow as a young team with these, you know, they can continue with that focus and obviously start winning games. Because, you know, to win games, you don't lose them.
You just make sure you focus.
You know, as Mike McDaniel says. Also, and I don't want to go down the road of what they were talking about, but I thought it was a really, really, really weird moment on the Amazon Prime broadcast where they start talking about Tyreek Hill's legal history randomly with a sideline report. It just came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of – and they're like – they have him on the camera on the sideline, and I'm like – and somebody
– this is the next-gen analysis y'all been talking about on Amazon?
Somebody tweeted, nobody – and then Amazon Prime, Tyreek Hill has been arrested eight times – or been accused of 8 times of this. And I was like, what are you
– where did that come from?
It's not 41-21. It was a 10-point game, and it was tied to 4. Like, it's just weird to me. But I just had to bring that. I thought it was a really awkward moment. Yeah.
You also said something the other day, though, that has stuck with me, and I've been paying attention to it every time Mike McDaniel speaks.
Yeah.
And it's, the, you know, being the weird, in-your-own-world kind of person, it's cute when things are going well.
Yeah.
But when it's not going well, the cutesy, weird, quirky comments just have to get under people's skin.
You just
lost a game that you really couldn't afford to lose. Not a win, you know, a must win, but it was a game you really needed to lose. You don't make the playoffs starting 0-3. The numbers are so low, Allie. But you just lost a game you really couldn't lose, and your quarterback made a pretty bad mistake that cost it to you late, right, with the pick. And he said it, Tua said it was a great play by the defender. Okay. But the reality is you're an offensive coach. You're brought there because you're an offensive, air quote, genius, and that was the way you looked the first couple of years. So when you talk and you ramble very slowly with, you know, basically given definitions of things as you talk and not really explaining what happened, it's irritating. Mm-hmm. And no coach is gonna give you, like, anything. There was a coach the other day. I can't remember who it was, but it was Ben Johnson. They asked him about the Brady stuff. And he goes, well, I've been in full coach speak mode for 2 months now, and I thought it was funny, but it just it doesn't it, when you dress like that, when you act like that, it just doesn't come off well when you're losing games.
All right, so we have 10 teams that have got an 0-2 start: Jets, Dolphins, Chiefs, Giants, Browns, Texans, Titans, Panthers, Saints. Who are you concerned about here? Or are you worried for any of them?
I mean, fill in the blank on some of these. Obviously, you know, I think there's a designation to draw here. Are they 0-2 teams that might have their sights on the playoffs, or are they 0-2 teams that might have the first pick in the draft? Right.
Okay.
I think that's the distinction to take there.
I got
now,
one.
You look at the Browns, you're like, okay, that's just a team that's going to stink. But there are teams that are 0-2 that you're like, man, I thought they were going to be a little bit better than that, and it hasn't panned out that way.
Well, I'll tell you, the Texans,
yeah, exactly.
They've lost by 6 points in 2 games, and they lost at the end. And, you know, and I think the Rams are a pretty good team. So I think the Texans are – there's a team that's been in the playoffs the last 2 years. That's a legitimate one, right?
Yeah. Well, I honestly thought you were going to say the Chiefs, which I think that's the low-hanging fruit when you talk about 0-2 Chiefs.
But
it's like, wow.
I don't know if I want to – if the Chiefs lose to the Giants, who I think they're 5-12 in their history against the Giants. It's like the only team they've lost that many times
since
the Chiefs.
0-2 as well, yeah.
If they lost to the Giants – now, I would say that panic alarm that Dylan found the other day for us, you know. That would be a legitimate one. But no, I don't think the Chiefs are a team I would like freak out over. I didn't think the Jets were going to be good. I thought the Dolphins were going to be way better. I thought they would come out playing like a team that was, you know, a coach was trying to save his job, and players were trying to save some of their spots, because that team is a team that if they go away from McDaniels and was it Greer down there, that they could kind of blow things up a little bit.
Is it weird that I'm kind of – because I think the Chiefs are obviously going to be favored in a heavy way against the New York Giants, but part of me wants to see the Brian Daboll, Jackson Dart experiment actually get legs and be able to work at some point. And it makes me sad to think that they could start 0-3 and that Brian Daboll is going to be on the hot seat throughout the entire season.
But you know what's weird about that situation is they are talking and acting like – he's like kind of in Ben Johnson situation where he's got time.
Year one. I agree with you. They're talking like he's a year one coach.
Yeah, and so I'm not sure what the agreement was. I don't know. We don't know. There might have been a conversation where, hey, go compete. Go show us that, you know, you have this team's, you know, pulse still, and you haven't lost a team. And you bring – and if you can win us 6 or 7 games this year, and maybe we start Jackson Dart the last month of the season or something – and we see progress, you'll be back, because we know what you did with Daniel Jones that 1 year until injuries, and then we idiotically let Saquon walk out the door.
I was going to say, it's almost as if, and I don't know this to be true, but we saw a lot of the inside in that building. It's almost as if he was like, hey, we need to re-sign Saquon, and we need to draft Jaden Daniels no matter what it takes.
Well, he wanted
and they were like, I know, and it's almost like that was the conversation, and then when they didn't do either one, he was like, told you so. You need to give me more of a leash here. I need a couple more years to get back to where I was.
My favorite quote ever from that, and I loved that HBO Hard Knocks series. I love the offseason one more than anything.
I agree.
People said they didn't like it. I don't know why, because I love the behind the scenes. But I think it was the owners, maybe it was Daboll. Somebody said to him, you know, we really got to have Saquon. And he goes, we got a $40-something million the GMs. We got a $40-something million quarterback. I mean, if I got a babysitter with a $15 million running back, then we don't need him as the quarterback. And basically what he said, I butchered it, but that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, you can always listen to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, or the TuneIn app. We don't just have to stay in the car. It's free, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Coming up, Mike and Bo got to make their picks, lay the foundation for Man Up Monday. That's next, live from McDonald's on Northside Drive on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. We are the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Allie Mack, Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and we are live from McDonald's on Northside Drive in Atlanta. Stop on by. Come see us. Garrett is in for Dylan today back at the station. Gordon is keeping us on air out here at this lovely McDonald's. And this segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. We do have Fair Foul on deck. That'll be coming up momentarily. But we got to lay the foundation for Man Up Monday, boys. We've got the guys making picks today, two NFL, two college, and then one random one that I am choosing today. I think I accidentally, but I'm just going to put it on the table. I think I accidentally told Mike what the random one was.
All I heard was a direction.
That's not fair.
All I heard was north.
I didn't mean to. We were going over the picks that you guys are going to be making, and I accidentally looked at mine.
Oh, did you guys do this on your little chat that you have between each other where you trash me or try to set me up to fail?
If two people have a chat going on behind your back, you should look in the mirror. I'm just saying.
I didn't have to be transparent either. The fact that I gave Mike, I'll tell you, it was North. That's what I told him.
I was going to, but here's the thing. I'm going through my head going, what university starts with North? I can't think of one. Like North. I can't think of one.
I'm not a fan of y'all right now.
Well, let's start with your college picks. The games that you know about. Auburn, Oklahoma. Oklahoma is favored by 7. Over-under is 46.5.
Yeah, I'll start with this one. I'm taking Oklahoma in this one, and I think there's a lot of different angles to look at. I think that when you look at the reason that Jackson Arnold was brought in to Auburn is because Peyton Thorne was a little bit too much of a wild card. He threw too many interceptions, which Arnold has fixed, but he also took way too many sacks, and I think that's the one thing Jackson Arnold has not fixed so far. You add in the fact that Venables knows exactly who he is as a quarterback. I expect a bunch of sacks against Auburn this weekend. I'm taking Oklahoma minus the points.
Yeah, look, I actually like Oklahoma with the points as well. I think Hugh Freeze is going to try to come in here and neutralize them and run the football, because that is the – if there is a weakness on the Oklahoma defense, it's their rush defense, or that's the lowest. They're top five in everything but rush defense, and they're 35th. I don't think it's enough, though. I think that crowd, that environment, Oklahoma is filling themselves after beating Michigan there, so I'm taking Oklahoma in the points as well.
Okay, moving on to Texas Tech and Utah. Utah is favored by 3. Over-under is 56.5.
Yeah, this is – you talk about a game where you just don't have a feel for. Starting it at 10 a.m. Local time, noon there. You know, Utah is at home. I think Utah is a sneaky, hard place to play. I do think Texas Tech can hang, but I would take Utah on the points as well.
This one's really tough for me. I think that, obviously, the over-under being 56.5, I think I'm going to go with the under on this one. I think that Texas Tech, obviously, a high-flying offense. I think that they were always going to be that under their new offensive coordinator. But if you go back to the preseason, they lost. I think Joyner was his last name. They're starting running back in the preseason to a torn ACL. So they even leaned further into that. But I believe in the brand of football that Utah plays, which is a little bit more physical. I think when you match up physicality, you put some pressure on Texas Tech's offense. I don't think they'll perform well against pressure. I think they're not great against the blitz. I think the under 56.5 for Texas Tech, Utah.
Okay, moving on to the NFL. We've got Rams and Eagles. Eagles are favored by 3.5. Over-under is 44.5.
Every bone in my body wants to lean Rams on this one, but the Eagles and that offensive line and their ability to run the football just takes the air out of everything. I think the Rams have been improved in a lot of different ways this year. I love the way they've started utilizing more 12 personnel, which I think that's probably where Zach Robinson is watching a lot of tape when he's looking at the Rams and putting Matt Stafford under center and doing some of the other, the wrinkles that we're going to start to see rolling out here. But the Eagles in that offensive line, I'm just too big of a believer. And you add in the tush push, you add in everything Jalen Hurts has done on the ground, I think maybe he can throw the ball a little bit more in this game. But I like the Eagles minus the 3.5 points.
This game is probably one of the hardest games you'll find to pick with the spread. With the over-under. The over-under, I have it, Allie, I want to make sure it lines up at 44.5. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Thanks for listening.
I want to make sure. I just want to make sure because I was thinking, I was just trying to make my last thing on where I want to go with it. I'm going the over on the 44.5. And the reason is because you think both these teams have really good defenses. They can get after you. But if you go back to that playoff game, even with all the snow and everything, what did that game have? Big plays. And I think they have big plays again. I think I'll take the over 44.5.
Okay, moving on to the Bengals and Vikings. Bengals are favored by 2.5. Over-under is 41.5.
The over-under, again, tells you to take, you say two backup quarterbacks playing. Both of those guys, though, have been starters at one time in the league, and they both have something that I don't know that either one had as good of when they were starters, which is number one targets in this game. These two offensive coaches, one is clearly better than the other in O'Connell. So I look at this and I'm like, everything tells you to take the under at 41.5. No, not so fast. take the over 41.5. I think this game ends up being wild. I'm not a big fan of the Cincinnati defense. Minnesota's a little bit better. It's at home. But I think there's going to be some big plays in this game between Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, just like I did the other one. Take the over. Points will be scored.
Yeah, I think that that's a pretty good assessment. I mean, what did Dave Archer say? The reason they were playing 2-high? Because they don't trust their corners, mm-hmm. right? And I think that matchup kind of leans heavily in the way that I think the Bengals can attack. I think that the Vikings – I'm going to take the Vikings minus the points in this one at home. I think they're a good team. I think they've been a quarterback away from being a great team at times. Now, do they trust their corners? No. Will they probably get exposed at times? Yes. But I also think that in that building – and we talked about how raucous it was a week ago – in that building – if they can start to get some early momentum offensively, get that crowd into it, I think that's going to affect the way that Jake Browning's able to play as the backup quarterback for the Bengals. I like the Vikings in this one minus the points. I think that's the way I'm going to lean.
And here is the random pick of the week. We've got North Texas and Army.
Texas. What?
North Texas is favored by 1.5. Over-under is 50.5 at Mikey Stadium at noon.
What'd you say the over-under was?
Over-under is 50.5.
Thanks for listening.
I'm trying to write.
speaking of which, Bo, you go ahead.
No, I did first.
Meowed in the
picks.
Middle of that. So,
yeah, but I still heard the over.
I'm going to go with let me go with North Texas on this one.
Okay.
Army lost a game in week one, and I can't even remember the name of the school because it was something I had never even heard of before, and they lost it at home as well. That's why you see North Texas favored. Army's still a good team. Is it Tarleton? It's some crazy game in week one.
Tarleton State.
There you go. I mean, what?
I don't know how you don't know much about Tarleton State.
Yeah,
I know
yeah, same.
Their colors are purple.
There you go. I'll take North Texas minus the points.
Okay. Bo?
I'm going to take the over. I'm going to go over 50.5. I think Army gets that thing rolling. I think North Texas can score.
Wow.
Their quarterback's already got 9 touchdowns in 3 games. So I would take the over.
Interesting.
I like a lot of over-unders this week.
Interesting play.
All right. Same station, same time, Monday morning. We'll see who was right, who was wrong with Man Up Monday. And today, before we get to Fair or Foul, I want to remind you we're getting the weekend started with a special broadcast of Middays with Andy and Randy at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Come on by, have lunch with them, enjoy the food, drink, and scenic views as we get ready for a big weekend of football. That is today from 11 to 2 at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I was like, someone's going to want to know why Levine is walking with a bearded child.
And just a reminder, today's Mic'd Up Fair Foul Friday edition is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Allie, take it away.
All right, I listened. I heard him say fair foul today.
There you go.
Okay, fair foul. The McMuffin is the supreme breakfast sandwich at McDonald's.
Ooh.
Mike, you start.
No, that's foul. It's definitely the McGriddle. Now, do I want to have a McGriddle every single day? Yes, I do, actually. So, yes, I'm going to. It's definitely the McGriddle. Definitely the McGriddle. All respect to one of the best sandwiches there is.
It's kind of like – this question is hard because it's like asking, is the Big Mac the supreme McDonald's burger?
I know.
And I think that in the reality, the Big Mac is royalty. I think the Egg McMuffin is royalty.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know what? Sometimes royalty ages, and it doesn't always age well. And sometimes something a little bit fancier comes in. So I have to agree with Mike.
Sometimes you got to get a double quarter pounder with cheese. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Sometimes you got to go there.
Yeah, but that said, if you came in every day, Ali, with McMuffins, I'd eat them.
Is that a suggestion?
No, it's not. But I'm just saying, if you did, donuts are good as well sometimes.
Fair or foul? We'll see an improvement in the red zone from the Falcons this weekend, Bo.
It's fair. I just think there's going to be a lot of There's probably been a lot of concentration on that. Mike, you can speak to the. You know, at practice during the season, yeah, you're installing stuff and everything, but there's still a focus on the things that you need to get better at. And if there's something they're not getting better at, they're going to put the time in. I think some of it is execution as well. And look, a good team will get better through the season. We've seen this team get better after 1 week. If they're truly a playoff team, they will continue to get better, including in the red zone.
Here's the thing about the NFL. Very few absolutes in the NFL. It's hard to go from 1 week to the other in any aspect of the game and say with absolute 100% confidence that something is going to happen. So I think The answer is fair. It'll get better. And one of the reasons is because it can't get much worse, right? I mean, it really, really can't get much worse in the way we played in the red zone. So it absolutely has to get better at some point. You'll head back to the median and the mean in terms of red zone percentage in the NFL.
Fair or foul? Trey Young's response to Patrick Beverley was warranted. Cite your source. Cite your source.
Yeah, fair. If Patrick Beverley's going to – these circles are small. An NBA circle is way smaller as far as teammates that you share than an NFL one. There's 15 men on those rosters now. That's not a lot of people. And so I think it's fairly – yeah, who is it? We know the same people. I wish Trey wouldn't have got into it with Patrick Beverley anyways, because I just think Patrick Beverley is one of those guys who – that
– he's like Garrett. He's an antagonist.
Well, yes, but Beverly was clearly chasing clicks for something. Probably the podcast he's
for
on
sure.
Now. A little bit. And I don't understand it. I thought Trey handled it as well as he can in a response, but.
I'll co-sign on that. I'll say exactly what Bo felt.
All right, one last one real quick. Fair or foul, Michael Penix will throw for multiple touchdowns this weekend. Mike, you got to start.
Yeah, I'm going to say foul. I think that maybe he runs for one, which would be great. And I think that we try to get the run game going with some explosives. I think to say that he's going to throw for multiple touchdowns, though, I don't feel that confident that they will be throwing that close to the end zone. Maybe he gets a long one, just like he did there in week one in the third play. But I'll say foul. I'll say he throws for one touchdown and we rush for like two or three.
I think it's fair. What did he throw for against this team last year in Week 18? 2 touchdowns, 3-12. A little bit different team, obviously. Both teams are different in many ways, but yeah, I think it's fair. This game could turn into a kind of an ego thing where between these two quarterbacks, and I like it, so I'll take Penix.
Well, coming up, we've got the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. Look, it's Falcons Friday. Get your questions in to Mike and Bo about Sunday's game. They've been studying film on both sides. You can ask about college football as well. Whatever is on your mind, 404-726-0929. And we've got a Life of Squid.
We do. I just sent Garrett some audio that I cannot believe what I was hearing. And I didn't know how to take it. But then when I re-heard it for the second time, I think I get where he's coming from. It's Nick Castellanos on Philly Karen. Next, Morning Show, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and
the Odyssey app.